When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Shireen.
Hi, Anna.
Hi. This is Ethnically Ambiguous. This is a great episode because I don't really have to talk as much, and I get to really just chill back and listen. And you guys know I hate doing work, so you're going to love this episode for me. We have Trisha and Becca here to do a little roundtable on social media and the destruction of our minds. Yeah, we just talk a lot about that. I don't know. Shireen, what else do we talk about?
Yeah, that basically covers it. We touch on 9/11 for some reason. I can't remember how we got there.
Because, yeah, you know what? Shireen committed 9/11. All right, guys, stay tuned. Great episode for you. What I just said, please nobody come for us. That was a joke.
Please.
See the laughter? That was a joke. All right, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born?
We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Wow. Today we have a really planned out, thoughtful episode. We're joined by Becca and Trisha. We're going to have like a little round table action, like just, I don't know, bounce ideas off of each other and like see where we land. And you need a topic usually for a round table thing. And on my mind anyway, this is not even just for this spiel, but I have been thinking a lot about social media and like this idea of being like perpetually online, or even this idea that you've like constructed literally like a separate identity for yourself on the internet. Not everyone, obviously, maybe because our jobs are very like social media facing. But yeah, that's what I was thinking about. So I thought it would be a very heady conversation to talk about our thoughts on that. How do y'all feel about it?
Woo.
Yeah. Hello.
There they are. So excited. Yeah.
Okay, I think maybe someone start first because I don't have social media. So
that's right.
I want to hear about.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah, I want to hear about your perspectives first.
You're better than all of us. Jesus Christ. Okay, I didn't even remember that.
Well, I guess I want to hear about why you don't have social media.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting.
That's a good contrast. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's great because we have people, I feel like, all over the social spectrum.
Yeah.
On this, especially like age and length and history.
What do you mean?
No.
Are we that much older than you?
Trisha is the youngest and she doesn't have social media.
So.
Right.
That is interesting. You would think the youngest would have social media, right?
Exactly.
Just because you've grown up more with it.
Yeah. Okay, I would say that most people my age, though, like the class I graduated with and stuff, like social media was a very big thing. I think I used to have it before, but I just got so distracted, and I could definitely feel the mental health impacts that everyone talks about now that we're realizing that it's a problem. So one day I just kind of deleted it, and then I just didn't go back to it. And honestly, no regrets.
No regrets.
I feel like I can focus a lot better and use my time more efficiently.
Do you ever feel out of the loop, though? That's like my thing that I hate feeling. It's like, it's not even that I hate feeling it. Maybe it's because I need to know things for certain parts of my job.
Yeah.
But is that, do you ever feel like that, like a little bit like you don't get the joke everyone's talking about?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I just don't see certain trends and like different things that come up on social media. So I definitely feel like, yeah, sometimes I just don't understand it all. But I guess since I haven't had the social media stuff for so long, I'm just kind of used to it now.
How long has it been?
It's been like years. I actually had a flip phone in college too.
Wow, you're my fucking dream.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
A flip phone?
Yeah.
At Columbia?
It was literally the kind where you had to, it wasn't even like it had a slide out keyboard and you can type hello. You had to press like 333-55.
Oh yeah, you did like the, wow. What was it? T9?
Yeah, T9.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
Takes so, me back.
Yeah. But I definitely do, like, I think social media can be a really helpful news source, especially on Twitter, like hearing people's opinions and takes on different things. So I certainly do see the value of it. And I think there's a lot of value, but I think just for me personally, I'm like happy without it.
Yeah, the pros outweigh the cons for you.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what you kind of remind me of, Trisha? And I don't want you to take this as anything offensive. I'm just I'm so media-brained, unfortunately, that you remind me of like a Noah Baumbach character. Does that make sense? You're like this like cool, like, I don't even know, like interesting, mysterious, soft-spoken. I'm insulting you in a way, but I am not. I want you to understand I'm not insulting you. You're just, in my mind, a fetishized kind of like mumblecore character.
Is it like Manic Pixie, but Dream Girl?
No, you're not Manic Pixie, Dream Girl. You're better than
that.
You're
like
cool, yeah. But you're like, oh no, I don't do social media, and everyone's like, whoa. But then you're also like, I went to Mexico and I like wake up and I surf every morning, and we're all like, whoa. And then you're like,
you're like, you are better than me, and I've accepted that.
Yeah. But then you're also like,
totally.
Here's a structure of writing that I'm like, whoa. And they're like,
your brain hasn't
melted. Yeah, you're the smartest person I've ever met, and yet you're so cool and mysterious and soft spoken.
Oh my gosh.
I can see, like, in a character, you like ruining a man's life without even meaning to, because you're just like so interesting that he throws his like life away for you. Anyway, these are just like thoughts I have about you on my free time.
Oh my god. I'm so flattered.
No, it's true though. I agree with everything Anna said, because as soon as you said it and I started thinking as you were talking, like, it's true. Like, you're almost too good to be true. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like,
yes,
I can't believe that you exist and that I was able to hire
like,
you.
Like, no, the fact that you are this young, or just like any kind, you're just so sure of yourself and so like good with your choices. And I think being level-headed like that, especially when it comes to social media or just like your identity, is like, it's rare to have that. At any age, let alone the age that you're at. So it's like, it's a little, it's really interesting to witness, because it's like a sign that like not everyone younger or like these new generations have to be swallowed up by the internet, right? Like, you can think for yourself.
Yeah, I guess you're just like the most you know how they have like the most interesting man in the world? To me, you're like the most interesting young woman in the world. I'm like, oh my God, what did she just say? That is so cool.
Everything I learned, it's like, what? Yeah.
Even like your interests, like reading your podcast pitch yesterday, I was like, this bitch, what are they even talking about? I was like, this is some next level shit. Everything you say to me, I'm like, what? Like, you could be my boss. Do you understand that?
That is like, that's too far.
I'm not joking.
She's not kidding.
I'm not joking. I'm like, sometimes I'm like, maybe I should ask Trisha. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like about to ask Jack. I'm like, nah, Trisha will probably know more. About to ask my own manager, then I ask my producer instead. I'm like, nah, she's smarter than all of us. I'll ask her.
Wow, that really hyped me up, you guys. Appreciate it.
Good. Well, good.
But truly, like, yeah. But I so admire how you guys know so much about, like,
No, I don't know how.
I used to ironically like social media, right? Like, I used to just like to dabble. I was a OG Tumblr girl, you know.
Oh, same.
I used to, before that, live journaling.
Yes. Yeah.
All of it, right? Like, I was very emotional on the internet. I was like, Tumblr is my diary. Like, nobody can know my Tumblr. It was like very much something I kept a secret. I was like, this is for me and for me only. Yeah. Yeah. And that's how I felt about TikTok for a while. I was like, oh, this is like my new Tumblr. Like, my TikTok's private. And I just like be goofing on there. But now it has sucked my whole life up. And I am actually feeling some like mental health crises being on TikTok all the time, because I'm like, it is eating my life away. Like, I definitely consider myself someone with like high functioning anxiety. And when I have like a lot of stuff going on in my personal life, I just be doom scrolling like all day on TikTok. I'm ignoring the Spanish homework I need to do. I'm ignoring my emails that are piling up. I need to do my budget sheet. These are things that are like important and I need to do. And I'm like, I'm gonna doom scroll for another 15 minutes. Ignore the little timer thing I set on my phone. Another 15 minutes goes by. Next thing you know, I've ignored it 8 times. It's 2 hours. That alarm thing does not haunt me anymore. And I don't know what to do, because it also kind of has affected, I feel like, how I think about things sometimes, because you're served so much shit on TikTok, right? And that's the point. Like, it's to keep you, like, constantly stimulated and, like, never ending and get off. Like, I don't even get those notifications anymore to be like, hey, you've been scrolling for too long. But I will, like, be told things that I didn't even think I should be worrying about, and all of a sudden I'm, like, stressed out about it. Like, I keep getting served, like, 10 things you should know when you're in a relationship, or like, you know, these are things and tips and tricks about living with your partner. And I'm just like, now all of a sudden it's like, am I supposed to be worried about this stuff? Like, how am I, why am I letting this person on the internet who knows nothing about my relationship and my life, like, have influence on my relationship and my life, whether it be good advice or not? I'm all of a sudden like stressed out in my relationship in a way that like is so unnecessary. Like, I'm like, why am I letting these unknown people who knew nothing about me influence my perspective on my own relationship, making me feel like, am I doing enough? Am I not doing enough? Did we make all the right decisions as we're like moving in together? Like, are we having too much fun living together? Like, you know, it's like so weird. I feel like with TikTok specifically, I feel like I'm having issues that people have had with Instagram for years about being like, there is so much going on there, and I am overwhelmed by, like, am I living my life as idyllic and correct because TikTok's so many handy tips as I'm supposed to be living it according to all of these tips and trick TikTokers out there? It has been truly affecting me the past couple months. I'm like, whoa, I need to get
I'm glad you're aware of it and the source.
Yeah, it's like, you know, one step to be self-aware, a second step to like actually delete the app.
Right.
But I'm curious, do you feel like some of the advice and videos that you've seen on TikTok have genuinely helped you live a better life?
Yeah, there's
and I guess that's for everyone. And not just TikTok, like Instagram and Facebook when that was a big thing. Like, yeah, how has it helped you?
I feel like they've all been different, right? Like, it's like Instagram I have always loved because it is like a place where I've been able to discover a lot of things, like, you know, my own style, like things I want to buy. You know, I like that it's like kind of adapted from Pinterest and you can make your own little boards. And, you know, you don't, I don't like shopping directly through Instagram, but I definitely like look up brands and then like I buy stuff and I'm happy or whatever. Or it's been a great tool for networking. So it's just been such an awesome multi-purpose tool. It definitely has its flaws and it definitely can be addictive in its own way. And I feel like I have been brainwashed by Instagram just because I feel like I was like the era of Instagram. Instagram came out when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up with it all of college. I was a social media manager for a couple years on big brands. So it's like I was like force fed Instagram. Mm-hmm. Facebook, I don't really, you know, that's for old people. That's
excuse
like,
me. No, but I do remember, old though.
Are you using Facebook?
No, I know.
Facebook?
Now, no, what is I was going just on? Thinking, I was thinking about the origins of Facebook. Because yes. I remember explicitly, it was, at first it was only college students, and yeah. I was like way too young for that.
Yeah.
But then when it opened up, I remember being like in high school and like everyone got a Facebook. Yep. It was like the next kind of, it's like whatever, and you're posting all these things to people that you know, your friends or your family, and so it seems more intimate. And I think what's really interesting, especially now that like Instagram is trying to be more like TikTok and is like just giving you more public stuff versus like people that you follow,
yeah,
like the social media went from being like staying connected to your friends and family and seeing what they're up to presenting yourself publicly. Like,
yes,
when you're posting something, you're not posting it to your social
friends,
circle. You're posting it to the entire world. Like,
right.
Unless you're private, right? Unless you have a private account.
Yeah.
No, but I, because Instagram for me and Anna came at like the, at least for me, I got an iPhone pretty late, but it was like the tail end of our last year of college.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that sound right? I think that sounds right.
I got an Instagram midway through college, I remember.
Okay, never mind. I was holding out. I didn't
there before I even got it, though. It was starting to pop off a little as I got it.
Yeah, I really did not want to get a smartphone until I really had to. And my phone, it's a long story, but my phone, I had like one of those keyboard ones and I really liked it. I did not like the idea of being on the internet on my phone, but it fell in the toilet. So I had to get a new phone. And so like, I, like 2 months after I graduated, I got a smartphone, and that's when I got Instagram personally. I just assumed the entire world also got it at the same time. That's a very self-centered thought. But yeah, I don't know. It's, I'm having a weird relationship with social media in the last couple of months, especially. Like, I think I used to enjoy like having silly things on my like content, quote unquote, if you want to call it that, but like I would put videos of like crunchy leaves, or like is this a freckle or a pimple. Like I like the idea of like having this funny outlet, and now it just feels so pointless for some reason. I do not care about it, and it's refreshing, but it's weird because I look back and I'm like, what made me care about that? Like it's a good outlet, sure. Am I just too depressed to appreciate that outlet, or am I actually growing? I don't know. Who knows?
Because Shireen, you did photography too at some point, right? Because how did Instagram change that?
Well, that's in the beginning of Instagram when I first got it. That's what I liked. There was like that, and then a couple months later, or a couple years later, it was like Vixo or something.
Verbo, Visco,
Visco, yeah. Verbo's like the vacation rental.
And Visco, I have a bone to pick with Visco because they are now like a purely paid app. Like you cannot use any of their presets anymore.
Wow.
There's like two of them, and you have to go through like if you've posted a photo on Visco, you have to like click the photo and like click try this filter, and then it'll show you like the two free filters they have, but like the rest of them are paid now.
Scam.
So I was like, I'm not
just scam.
I was like, the only reason I got Visco was to curate my Instagram like a year and a half ago when I started to care, because like you, I used to just post whatever the fuck I wanted, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is like a kind of public thing. Like I'm like, this is like my public persona that people are like clicking from my like professional website to my Instagram to get an idea of who I am. And like I was doing a lot of activism work. So I was like using like a preset so that all my photos look like aligned. And now I'm like, I don't know what to do anymore. It's all stupid. I feel stupid with the preset. I feel stupid without it. I feel stupid that I care.
Yeah. Well, Anna, how do you feel about, I don't know, like your like you recently decided to make a public Instagram. Can you explain why and like what, how you feel about that?
Yeah, I made a public Instagram because I felt like so many people were trying to like follow me on my private one. And I kept telling people like, no, but like people don't take no for an answer. And then I just decided to do like a bit where I'm an influencer. And I was like, well, this is funny. Like it allows me to have some fun with podcast listeners and, you know, fans of the crap we make. And I don't know, I felt like I was just like tired of promoting shit on my own Instagram, that I was like, I just want like a public place where I can push shit, because like, I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but like I just wanted a place to have fun and like not, you know, be annoying to like my friends and family who follow me and stuff, but also like interact with people who listen to our shows that aren't on Twitter, because Twitter's a different energy. But I will say, like, I'm not like that affected by social media. Like, I don't really like scroll Instagram or anything like that. Like, I'll go on, I'll post, I'll look at a few stories, and then for the most part I'm like pretty bored about like what people are posting, so I don't really scroll too much. You asked me the other day, how do I find all these funny videos? Well, I have a system of like 10 people I share memes with, and they share memes back to me, so it's like this constant cycle of like, you're sending me stuff, I think it's funny, I send my friends stuff, you guys, you know, I have like, I said it's like a business, which it is. I'm running a sort of like meme, funny exchange video, sort of marketplace in my DMs. And it's how I'm able to source hilarious or fun or cute or silly videos to share with my friends.
Yeah.
I didn't really answer the question, did I? Did I answer? I don't know.
No, you did. No, you totally did.
I just don't think too hard on it, to be honest with you. I don't take it too seriously. I will say I've had to stop looking at Twitter because of all the like monkeypox horror stories. I'm starting to like lose my mind a little over that.
See, that's what TikTok's doing to me. Yeah, like every other video I open, it's like, look at all my monkeypox sores. Don't be outside. And I'm like, oh my God. And that's what I'm talking about with TikTok. It's like almost fear-mongering on there. I have to remember that like some of these people don't know what they're talking about. Like, because they talk to you with such vigor that you're kind of like, oh, yeah, like, duh, why didn't I think of that? And then you take, like, two steps to Google it. Because I used to make fun of people for just believing anything on Facebook, right? But sometimes I'd be on TikTok and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I didn't take 2 seconds to Google it, and I become just as bad as the old people on Facebook. And I'm like, at least I'm not reposting it, but I am, like, word of mouth stalking about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Even if you like, don't even absorb it, it's still like, oh, I heard that.
Somewhere,
cats fly. Like, exactly. You know what I mean? It's just like, and you have that in your brain if someone ever asks you about it.
No, exactly. But there's definitely so many times where I'm like, oh yeah, I read an article and it's definitely a TikTok I heard. Like that is the new, and that's like even a joke like on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Twitter is also one of those places that I, especially me, like sometimes I'll get those like reminders of like, this is what you were doing 10 years ago, and like all of my tweets from like 12 years ago are just me like talking to myself. And that's what I was doing. I was talking to myself on all these apps, on Tumblr, on Twitter, all these things was me with myself. And that was just completely flipped, and everyone's adapted. And I'm glad that Anna doesn't, you don't think about it too much, because that's like so much more healthier, especially because we do have a lot of social stuff in this industry. But yeah, it just really, I think for me, I don't know, I don't know what it is, because I still like being funny, but I don't get the same satisfaction as I used to from like getting a viral tweet or like making someone laugh on Instagram. I wish I did, because I feel like I was less jaded or something, but like I think I've just entered a phase of reality where I'm just like, everything seems silly, like everything doesn't feel purposeful or like that it has a point. I don't know. I'm gonna take a little break before I continue to ramble, and we'll be right back.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
And we are back. We are here with Becca and Trisha. What's your new name?
Trisha. Little southern twang.
Yeah. Talking about
I am in the South.
Social, that's where you are in the South. We're talking about social media. This is actually a wide, no, it's not. Because I guess I was going to say a wide ranging age group, but I guess not really because Shereen and I are like the same age and we're just like 20s and 30s. Let's be real. Wait, Becca,
it's
how old are you?
A handful of years.
I'm 27. Yeah.
27. And Trisha, okay. You're like a fresh 19 or something. How old are
you? No, for real. How old
are
you?
You're not legally allowed to employ me.
Oh, no. You're like 16. Yeah. Sorry, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay, 23. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So there's 5 years between each of us.
Yeah.
Like almost, me and Anna, yeah. You and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Because I'm 32, about to be 100.
Yeah, that's 5 years.
That's 5 years. I'm 5 years older than you.
Yeah, you're my sister. My little sister is 5 years younger than me, and I can't. She's still like a baby to me.
I know. Wait, Trisha, then I'm 23, 32, 9 years older than you?
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
That's the math.
Wow. She was born in the 2000s.
No. I'm not that young. 98.
98. Okay. Never mind. Yeah. So you got to experience 9/11. God bless.
No. That was in 2000. What?
Have you met people who were not born before 9/11? You're like,
that is true.
Oh my God.
That's just something in a history book you read about? Okay. That's crazy.
I guess you're right. My partner's little sister was born like that year.
She was like 9/11 who?
Yeah. She literally, I guess because she's April 2001. Oh my God.
Oh no. So she would have been born like a couple months.
Yeah, but barely. Yeah. Like she didn't experience 9/11. No, she was an infant. Yeah.
Right.
It's crazy. I was 11 years old when 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
On my way to sixth grade class.
I always liked being born in 1990 because like every year was like, oh, it's 1991. I'm one. I wasn't conscious of that. It was like when I was eight, I was like, oh, I'm eight. It's 1998. And then I realized the people that are born in 2000 have it so much better.
Like, yeah. My brother was born in 2000. So even if he's like over 100, you can use it. Wow. But what was it like for you guys to experience, or like to be, I guess, like register when 9/11 happened?
And yikes.
Yeah.
It was traumatizing. No, I don't know. It was like, at first I was like, what happened? And then they were like,
home.
No. Everyone in school was like, this is bad. And I was like, what is it? I'm like, what happened? Yeah. Like, it was so hard for me to process that this was a terrorist attack because I was 1/11. I was 1/9/11. And I just couldn't, like, they were like, planes have crashed into the World Trade Center. So one, I'm like, what center? And then, like, they're like, it's New York. I'm like, so it doesn't really affect us because we're in California?
So I'm not there.
But I remember my carpool, the mom who we carpooled with was like, I almost kept so-and-so home from school. And I was like, why? Like, what does this have to do with us?
We're not there.
I generally was like, we're in California.
That is so funny. My experience was a little different. I remember the morning before going to school, my older sister, my parents, and I were all watching the TV, like, and I saw them, like, in horror, and I was just, like, saw these towers crashing, and my parents were just, like, really scared, and they told me not to say, like, not to talk about it at school, yeah. Because, like, I don't know, there were a lot of Muslims around, or, like, whatever, and I think she was covering her hair back then, so I remember going to school, like, pretty scared,
yeah.
For some reason, it's kind of similar to that episode of Rami where he talks about it. But yeah, and after that, like, you just get asked questions by ignorant people about it. Or I was scared for my mom, like, going out in public because she had a headscarf on. So it was just like little things that, like, I didn't. I don't know. It's a lot for a kid. Like, yeah. Like, how can you process that?
No, I didn't know. I didn't get it. I was like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
I just knew it was bad. Yeah.
I just remember, like, waking up. My dad was watching the TV as it was happening. I was kind of like, okay, seems bad. But, like, again, I don't have any context for what, like, a terrorist attack is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, I guess the other time it happened, it was 94, right? 93 or 94. So I was like 3 or 4 years old. So I would have not really been cognizant of such a massive news story.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It's just like there was no, I just remember being like, what? And then I remember going into school in history class. I remember this one teacher who was like talking about the first time it happened and like what a tragedy this was. And I still just remember being like, what is that? Like, what? I don't get it. Like, it felt like everyone was being like, it's so fucked up. But there was no context of like, what is happening? Like, why is this happening? What's the fallout? What led to this? What we should be concerned about. Like, I didn't even think at the time, like, oh, like, Muslims are about there's about to be a huge surge of Islamophobia. No one was saying anything to me that, like, made sense other than, like, be sad. But to me, I was like, why? What is happening? Yeah. Buildings fell.
All I understood was Muslims did this because they hate white people. This is, like, the narrative I heard. Like, they hate white people. And then everyone just, like, it's kind of similar to how when people ask me what I feel about ISIS. I remember some, like, stuff like that happening where, like, I don't know, my mom would speak Arabic and people would be like, like, what was that? Like, a bomb? So I just remember, like, there was a weird divide suddenly. Like, a weird, like, I was already, like, a fucking weirdo, and, like, I stood out, but that was even worse, because suddenly, like, everyone knew we were Muslim. Like, it wasn't, like, I don't know. I just remember clearly thinking, like, oh, we are really fucking different all of a sudden.
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty young, so all I remember is that I was sick that day, and so I was home from school, and my mom was watching the news as it was happening, and my brother went to school, and so she was like, oh my God, dude, like, we need to pull him out of class, like, this is crazy, and his class was, like, watching it on the television, which is terrifying.
What?
Yeah, because they had, like, rolls.
He was, like, six or something.
They had TVs, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
They pulled out the TV.
They rolled the TV in, yeah.
Yeah, but he was six, your brother.
He's a year older than me, so he would have been...
For whatever reason, I thought he was 5 years younger than you, because we just established everyone is 5 years younger than each other.
I was in sixth grade, and I remember, like, there was no real, like, lessons that day. We just all just watched the news all day.
Right.
We're only a year and a half apart, so only a grade level apart. So if I was six, I was probably in kinder or first grade. I think I was in first grade. Mm-hmm. Elijah was in second grade. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I think my mom left him in school, but they, like, watched it on the television. And I actually, which is... kind of dark. I used to own, like, a little Barbie playset, right? And, like, on, like, one of the pieces in the house, it was purchased before 2001. The play TV has a picture of the Twin Towers on it. And my dad has kept it in his office for years because he was like, oh, what a relic of an old time, like a different time. Because, like, now they would never do that. They would never print a little Twin Tower on a television.
Yeah.
But it's, like, such a, like... wow.
Relic.
Like, it's like such a, this is time stamped. Like, this is like a pre 9/11 piece of toy. Like, it is, it was wild. But I remember the backlash growing up in the South. And growing up where I grew up here in Houston, I didn't have a huge like Muslim community of friends. And granted, I didn't have a huge community of friends of color, period. That's like a big part of, I feel like, my life story. But I just remember the kids that I did know that were Muslim did get made fun of. I don't remember how deeply. I just remember there was a kid named Osama in one of my classes.
Oh, no.
And they did call him Osama Oof. Bin Laden.
I would go by Sam.
Yeah, and I do remember him leaning into it because he was trying to be accepted because he was a part of, like, the jock crew. I think he played a sport. But, yeah, it was definitely a lot of that. I don't remember if it was, and probably because I wasn't in those circles, like, if it was intense vitriol. But because I feel like the kids of color that were, you know, Muslim or anything, I was in the band kid crew, so we were all nerds, so everyone is a little bit more respectful. The bullying was in a different arena. It was never, like, racism. It was, like, a lot of just nerd shit. Whereas, like, in those other circles, like, I was also a dancer, so, like, in the dance circle, I was super racist, but, like, my brother was in band, and that wasn't, it was different type of bullying. But in the jock, in the band, or in the dance circles, it was definitely, like, oh, you're not supposed to be here. Like, this is a white kid thing. Like, to be in cheer, to be in football, to be and any of those things. It's like, if you aren't white, we're going to make you feel othered no matter how.
I guess that's, I mean, not to circle back, but it is interesting how we experience life-altering disasters with social media now versus, like, having this very vivid memory of back then versus, at least for me. And now it's really just, like,
everything's a life-altering event, and they're so compounded that you don't even have time to process it. I do feel like people have been kind of talking about that lately with, like, everything going on, and that's such a generalized term, but, you know, like, between our rights being taken away and, like, global warming being at its peak and all of our things not being codified into the government and all the things, you know, it's like every day the news has something absolutely fucking terrifying, and it is so hard to, like, I feel almost emotionless in a way that I didn't used to, and it breaks me because I'm like, holy shit, like, I feel guilty that I don't care, but I feel like if I care, I am not gonna have a brain cell left. I'm gonna be a puddle of puddle.
It's your way of coping. It's a way of coping for sure. It's like, no, but you're right, we're all experiencing compounding collective trauma, and we're all processing it in our own way. Some people are fucking rage tweeting these threads. Some people are off media. You know what I mean? There's all these ways of trying to process it. But you did remind me of a funny moment I had with a friend a couple weeks ago where she was like, oh my God, yeah, I almost, like, didn't even go to work today. This is, like, maybe a month or 3 weeks after the abortion was banned. And she was like, I just, and I wasn't thinking about it. I was just, like, we were just hanging out. And she was just like, I can't even, like, think properly. I just, like, everything is just so shitty. I can't believe it. And I was just like, she kept talking. And I was like, what is she talking about? Like, what terrible thing? Which one? Like, which terrible thing is it? And then I realized it was abortion, like, women's rights. And I was like, oh, yeah. Because she was like, we're not even human to them. And I'm like, what? And then I realized it was like, oh, she's talking about women's rights. And I just thought it was so funny to me that I was just like, it could have applied to so many things.
Yeah, so many things happening right now.
Right, to anything.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
To me. I mean, sad. It's a terrible thing. But
no,
it was,
but
just,
it's
like,
true.
Yeah.
Or, like, it's just like the turnover you're meant to have, like, especially now that we all work from home and, like, we're constantly on our phones while we're at work. It's like, oh, I am supposed to digest this horrible piece of news and then get on a call and, like, you know, do whatever I'm supposed to do. Answer these emails or whatever. I felt the height of it, I think, during, like, the protesting during 2020, because it was like, we're all working from home. There's a global pandemic. All of, you know, the racism has never stopped, but, like, it's now more than ever at the forefront of our eyes and ears with videos and all that stuff. And I just remember waking up one day and, like, truly having a panic attack. Like, I started crying. And, like, I was supposed to, like, have a presentation that day for, like, some ad thing, like, a brand. We're, like, pitching some work. And I was just like, I can't believe I am here. Like, I cannot disassociate any further right now. I am at my wit's end. I have digested the most horrible video I've ever seen in my life. And I remember opening my phone, watching it, and immediately crying because it was so visceral. And then I'm supposed to just, like, log onto my computer and just continue going. It was, it's so dystopic. It's in a way that like we don't get to process these events anymore the way that we used to and handle them with, I don't want to say care, because like obviously 9/11 hurt a lot of, you know, Muslim people in this country. But, you know, like we don't have time anymore. Like everything's meant to just be like on to the next tragedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading about like protests in reaction to George Floyd's murder versus the Roe v. Wade decision recently. And just people have observed that like there's a lot less protests for the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And there's just discussion of like why that is. And a lot of people have said, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but one of them is just that the Black Lives Matter protests were during COVID. So work was at a somewhat lower level and people like they were alone, like they weren't in an office or they were just being constantly stimulated with these other things. And they could actually feel like the hurt and suffering and like the need to do something about it. And now, and I guess progressively in the future as well, like work is such a constant thing that really comes into your life at any point. And it just reminds me that a lot of how society is structured is designed to make us not care about these issues that we do really need to care about.
Yeah. It's all a scam. It's a capitalist scam to keep us distracted and busy so we don't actually have time to be a human being and process very human emotion. And we just keep like fucking chugging as cogs in this machine. It's like it's very disheartening to me.
I will say part of like what I feel like there's less like protests, I think, is because it's just burnout. There's only so much you can like. It was like it started with COVID. Yeah. Then it's, you know, well, it started with Trump and then it's this, then it's that, then it's this. And it's like by the time Roe v. Wade gets overturned, you're like, like fucking hell. And then it's like almost as immediately as Roe v. Wade gets overturned, monkeypox is a thing. You're like, what is.
Yeah. And you're just watching all your systems fail you.
Why is everything so. Yeah, and you're just like watching like chaos and you're literally watching us like edge towards the end of the world in like a crazy way where you're like, okay, well, no one cares about climate change either. You're like, what is happening at all times? Mm-hmm. And you're like, yes, fuck, I don't have rights. Fuck, I'm a woman. God damn it. Okay, okay, cool, cool, cool. But I need to also wipe down every surface. Oh, God. Right. You're like, there's 5,000 things going on at once and... Mm-hmm. There's just no real way to, like, exist. Like, if I were to take on every single thing of this and not compartmentalize everything like I do right now, like, I would probably have a stroke.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely felt that way in COVID.
My brain would literally be like, like, it would just fry. Because I am already feeling like I'm fried, but I'm, like, surviving because I'm like, oh, I just saw that really lengthy. I keep going back to monkeypox. So that is very fresh in my mind. Like, I just saw this thing where it's like, don't try on any clothes anywhere. Don't touch anything. Don't sit. Don't breathe. And you're like, oh, so we literally have to stop existing because the government can't take 2 seconds to call one guy and be like, ramp up production. Like, it's crazy. You're like, what am I supposed to do? Not touch anything?
Yeah. Not leave
until
your house.
You guys figure it out.
Yeah, not to like. My sister is an infectious disease doctor, and I did talk to her about monkeypox recently. And it's good to be very safe and do all those things, but monkeypox is usually like you have to be in like touching and like rubbing skin to skin, like very close contact.
The clerb.
It's not usually. Yeah, it's not usually transmitted with air particles or touching stuff. It's really like it's more so like. Especially with the sores, if someone has like visible stuff and is rubbing you consistently, like that's why people get it when they were having sex. It's just that kind of contact. So I think it's good to be extra careful, but also not to be completely irrational. You know what I mean? I think it's just like we all have to. The best thing you can do with COVID or monkeypox is just fucking wear a mask, be safe, distance yourself. Like all those things have been true from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best way to protect yourself and your loved ones. It still is. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's frustrating to me. But what were we talking about before?
So you can't remember, you know why? Because we're like stuck.
No, no, seriously,
we've already
got
into this.
It's like my brain is just constantly short circuiting. I cannot compute all of these things.
Well, we were talking about activism and like kind of just the burnout of protesting and that kind of thing. And I was wondering how you all feel about like social media activism.
Have you guys noticed that Trisha has suddenly become the interviewer?
The moderator.
It's just my natural state.
No, dude, I'm telling you. This is Trisha's show. It's Ethnically Ambiguous with Trisha Mukherjee. Like, I don't know what happened, but she's literally approving my time clock.
I believe it. Wait, but Trisha, before you answer that, or ask rather, that question, let's take our second break and then you can bring us back and be your interviewer self.
Did you just go on a break on Trisha's show?
It's okay, I allowed her to.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax and unwind tonight with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy work week flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
And we're back, and
thank you for having us, Trisha.
Thank you so much. You're such a good interviewer. This is so insightful.
It's because she's not bleeding her brain on the computer all day.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm too busy spitting out a TikTok meme, and nobody knows what I'm talking about.
No, but I will say, so I've been very much, much less on social media than I used to be, and I really enjoy how present it makes you feel. So I envy that presentness that you must have, or I'm projecting, but I imagine that you're able to feel more present in all these things without feeling like, I have to check my phone, or watching someone's story is almost like, everyone's a TV channel, and you're tuning in, or if you miss something, you miss an episode, or it's just... I envy that, and I'm trying to work on that in my own way while still being connected to friends and family. But I will say, forgetting I have a phone is those moments are the best moments in the world, where I just forget it exists.
It's so nice. Yeah, I will say that I still have that feeling. Even though I don't have Instagram notifications or TikTok or something, it's still who texted me, who sent me an email, what do I have to do next? It still is that constant cycle. So if there were all the other notifications, I feel like my brain would explode because it already is. But it's so nice to just not have service sometimes I lose my phone and I'm just it can stay that way for a little bit. I don't need to find it. I was talking with Jack about this on TDZ, but my phone actually fell through the crack between
did lose your phone.
It fell through the crack between the elevator and like the floor.
Oh my God.
Like the nightmare situation where it goes perfectly in that like 1 centimeter crack.
The thing that you only see happen in like a movie. That happens, like, to the, oh.
Yes.
Like, it fell through? Like, it just, like, went all the way. Wow.
No, it went all the way down. And I was like.
Well, that's gone.
Yeah. No, they got it back.
What?
And I was kind of bummed. I was like, at least give me a few hours break, but.
Was it broken?
No, it was perfectly fine.
Oh, my God. Those things are indestructible. Jesus.
Yeah.
But sorry to interrupt you. You were going to ask a question.
No worries. Yes, I was going to say before the break, we were talking about activism and how it's just so difficult to keep like dealing with how fucked up the entire world is by going out and protesting and like telling our elected representatives who don't do shit to like change something finally when you know that's not going to work. So I think one way a lot of people have kind of dealt with that need to feel like they're doing something is with social media activism. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to hear how you all use social media for activism, if it's increased or decreased with this like onslaught of terrible news, and if you think it's effective.
I was just thinking immediately about Palestine, because me and Anna have always posted about Palestine even before the pandemic. But I will say there was this, at least for me, like a surge in getting info out there because people had the time to look and see it and like were reacting, being like, I didn't know this, thank you. Because I think when shit was happening in Palestine a year ago or even 2 years ago, people were more sensitive to tragedy or something. Yeah. People were more being like, what? I can't believe everyone is suffering. Those people have collective trauma that I can't even begin to comprehend, right? So it's like, I think during that time, I definitely was trying to, I don't know, do my part to get the word out there, because like I'm very lucky in comparison to so many people. So what's the least I could do is like spread information. But even that becomes like either people like ignore your stories or you get tired or like all these things start happening where eventually people go back to their routine and so do you. And it becomes this like you're just shouting in this echo chamber either to like the same 5 people or just to yourself. I don't know. It's a whole thing. But I do... I think the protest definitely had, like, it made an uptick in social media activism as well, because everyone was online. But that's a good question. Next, Anna, Becca?
Sorry, can you remind me of the question again? I really started thinking about other things while Shireen was, what she was saying was making me think of other stuff, which is just, go ahead.
I imagine my voice in your head is like the Charlie Brown adult.
No, like I was listening to what you were saying, but what you were saying sent me on another path of like, but then I forgot the question.
Well, the question was just about social media activism.
Oh, right.
But I do want to hear your other thought path too. That sounds cool as well.
No, that's right. Cause you were talking about Palestine. Then I was thinking about shadow banning. That's where my mind went. And how, like, it's very interesting how, like, with social media activism, like, it's so, like, how these, like, massive corporations, these tech companies can really pick and choose who gets to hear what. And I think that's a real problem because, like, there was such a, like, weird thing where, like, I felt like I got shadow banned because I was posting so much about Palestine.
Same, yeah.
Like, I could visually see my interactions on my stories go down. And I was like, motherfuckers, I know Instagram is probably some like Zionist control hub. So like, it's like such a bummer to see these corporations actively silence certain activists because, and I'm not saying myself, like I don't really even consider myself an activist. I'm just someone who has feelings towards the Middle East and Palestine. But like, it's kind of devastating. Like, We use social media to communicate so much and to put the word out there and to think like that can be hindered because of the Israel v. Palestine debate. That is, in my opinion, just absolute bullshit. You know, like Israel has shown so much of their ass, and the idea that people still side with them, including our president, who I think is dumb, just like genuinely like one of the dumbest people I've ever seen. Yeah. And we had Trump in office, you know, like at least Trump was like malicious. Biden's just dumb. To be like, yeah, to go and talk in Israel and be like, yeah, I'm a Zionist. No, you're not, bitch. You're just saying a word. Like, you don't know anything about being a Zionist, actually. Like, you're stupid.
Mm-hmm. He's just a puppet. Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I would love to say to his face one day. It's like, you are stupid. but he wouldn't. That's the thing. He wouldn't hear. He'd be like, huh? Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm ages. I'm sorry. I don't mean. Oh, God. I just am mad, you know?
But no, I am ageist to old people in office. I'm tired.
Yeah, retire, bitch. Yeah. Guess why Roe v. Wade got overturned, miss? Yeah. You know who your ass is, RBG? RGB? What's her name?
RGB.
RBG. Sorry. I've seen those initials on so many pillows that it's crazy that I messed that up.
And totes. Oh my God, don't even get me started.
So many mugs with her with the biggie crown.
So much in Brooklyn. No. Let me tell you. I'm living in Brooklyn.
Maybe insulting. But you do have a point. People, there needs to be an age limit when it comes to positions of power, because it's not a fucking monarchy life sentence thing. It just, that's what it becomes. And that's really annoying to me. I think there should be an age limit for that. And then after a certain age, you have to get tested like every year or two to maintain your driver's license. But
yeah, I mean, there's so many things that do require constant like re-education and testing, and our government isn't one of them. And that's crazy. Like, teachers have to take certifications every fucking year almost.
And doctors.
Like, doctors have to take re-certifications. Like, we have to take, like you said, like, you have to retake your driver's test or do the vision test at least, like, when you're getting older. They did not give my grandmother a license the last time that she went in, you know, because they were like, you're too old. Like, you're just not going to be able to drive properly. You know, like, it is the only job in this country that it's like, once you get it, just get reelected, just be popular. And it's like so fucking crazy because it's like,
have you guys seen what Dianne Feinstein looks like?
Yeah.
She looks like she's already dead.
Yeah.
Like, she looks like a rug.
Exactly. It's just like these people not only like have no touch, like they are not in touch with reality because they have not lived a life of the common folk for many, many years because of the money they make as public officials. But also, they literally are so old that they don't even know what it's like to be a young person in this society dealing with the problems that we're dealing with, because y'all made your wealth back then. Your life is set. You're operating from this mindset that you're good, so everyone else should be good. And it's like, that is so untrue. Like, you are not in these streets with these people dealing with the triumphs that they're dealing with. Like, it's just like, it's unfathomable to me. And I don't understand why we, like, I get there's like an age requirement to be in certain, you know, like positions, but there should definitely be an age limit. Like, we expect every other profession to retire. Why the fuck is politics? You're not allowed to retire. Like, why are you dying in the Supreme Court office? I don't get it.
Straight up, why are you dying at work?
Yeah.
Like, you think you're going to die at work? You need to excuse yourself. Go to the bathroom. Go to your car.
Under the impression we fucking retire. Like, isn't that what I'm putting all my fucking money into my savings right now for? So I can retire? So I can stop working at some point? Like, what?
I'll tell you right now. If I was at the iHeart offices and I died, people would be pissed. People would be like, what the fuck? She had a condition this whole time that she could drop dead at any moment, and she just chose not to say anything. She just, in a studio, pretend we're recording, and I'm just like, and I'm dead. And if you guys don't know, my face just hit the mic. I'm dead. Just say I just died. And you'd be like, what? And then you hear, say, like, my loved one's like, oh, she was still working?
Yeah,
like, she shouldn't have been working. Literally, her brain was draining. Like, or I don't know. I don't know anything about science. You know, I don't know what brain drain condition is. But, you know, like, if I just dropped dead.
Yeah.
Like, and you guys would be like, oh, she knew she was going to drop dead? And she kept recording that podcast episode? That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I was in the middle of the meeting and I was like, like, you guys would be like, why did she do that? Why did she keep working even though she, like, the doctor was like, honey, you got 20 minutes left.
Yeah.
Like, keep it moving. Like, you need to now make arrangements.
That's how you want to spend
your final minutes. Yeah, like, do something that will make the last end of your life, like give yourself peace. Give yourself happiness. And sitting in an office with, like, a bunch of conservatives, there's no way that RBG was, like, super pumped to be there. Like, crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. If any of you died and you knew you were going to be die, I would have been pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, it's also like knowing you're going to die at the most critical moment that can like make the entire company go under.
It's selfish so at that selfish. Point.
Yeah. Yes. And me recording a podcast while I die is nothing compared to being on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
in charge, bitch.
It's like so selfish. And I'm glad that like we're retroactively at least reflecting on that. I think at least the like left side is trying to reflect on that, because I feel like so many people were like, wow, what a hero.
Yeah, yeah, there's like, a documentary about, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, feminist that was an incredibly, icon who yeah, did that was an incredibly selfish decision of hers. Yeah. Like, she knew what she
Very
was doing.
Selfish.
She knew what her health was at, and she knew that, like, by staying in this office, that we could be where we're at today. And she still chose to stay because she's like, this is my fight. And, like, something about being a good activist is knowing when to stand down sometimes and knowing when to lift the right people up. Like, it is not about always put, like, a real activist does not push their own agenda. You know, you're pushing for the utilitarian good of the for all, not for the one.
Exactly.
But that's the thing. That's the thing. Politicians forget, oh my God, they forget that they are elected supposedly to be a public servant. They're not activists, actually.
No.
Like, I've been thinking about how it's far more obvious in places where, like, dictators are, like, plastered everywhere, like South Korea or even, like, not South Korea, North Korea and even, like, Syria and stuff. But what happens is, like, this cult of celebrity that, like, a person of power or, like, authority, like, suddenly has. Like, it happened with her. It happens with, like, so many people. Like, why the fuck is she on a tote bag?
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, her job, if she actually gave a shit about being a public servant, it's not about fucking fighting your weird fight. Like, no, like, it's just, it really bothers me, because you're right. I think they're very out of touch. They've been rich for so long. There's just, like, no way they could possibly understand, like, the reality of anyone's situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm already, like, yeah.
Look, I believe in what RBG did in her early days, where she fought for the rights of women and all that. Great. But it became a point where, like, her being a feminist was more branding than actual work.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah.
Because she was also still, like, a centrist.
Yeah.
You know, she was not here being like, yeah, Black Lives Matter. You know, like, she did not progress with the times. She was a progressive when women literally had no rights
had
and
no
were
rights.
Trying to vote. Yeah. Sure. But, like, now it's like, okay, great. Glad you did that. Wonderful. Thanks, hun. Loved it. Loved it all. I can vote. Woo! Okay. But, like, now what? You that's where you stop?
Yeah.
That's it? That's as much as you can give us? Is, like, women have rights now? Okay. You need to also progress with the times. Sure, you're still considered, like, a liberal, or I
she
mean,
didn't
barely
have
a liberal.
To.
You're basically.
Yeah, she could have stepped down, you know?
But she didn't have to. Like, she already had her job. She was already known as this fucking icon. She didn't have to progress. It wouldn't serve her to progress. That's the thing. It's like.
But that's the thing. The second she realized, like, I don't fuck with that, then get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah.
But that's not. Yeah. But, like, at that point, the cult of celebrity is already, like, formed.
That's the
and
problem.
And I think, I mean, just to tie it back to the social media and, like, circle back, there is something to be said about, sorry I'm saying it for the third time, but, like, this, like, celebrity, like, fascination, like, social media, like, why do you, I don't follow people I don't know, and I've always made that conscious decision, because I never understood, like, why do you care about to be honest, I feel the same way about sports. Like, why do you care about something that happens that does not affect you? Like, why do you care about this person's life that does not affect you? Mm. And suddenly, like, all these people have cults of celebrity around them. And the same thing happens to politicians. And I think something to examine maybe next time is what part of human nature that derives from. Because there's something there. There's something about needing, maybe not a leader, but, like, needing someone to project onto or something or process through. I don't know. I'm just talking off the cuff. but there is something there that I'd like to examine eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone has their own ways of coping. That's the other thing. So it's like, if this helps you cope, then please, well, take care of yourself. But I don't know. I think it's gone out of hand. I think it's gone out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing a lot of social media activism, per se, like, during the pandemic. But then when things just kept compiling, I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, it was like, mm-hmm. for my own mental, I was like, it's same. Nothing's enough. Like, I was like in it during like the peak of 2020. I was like posting. I was, you know, donating. I was like, when I was working for this like small Latinx food company, I was like trying to really pick like BIPOC, like Afro-Latino people to work with. Like, I was really trying to like do the work, but it just got so dystopic. And I was just like, I can't, like, I feel like I'm falling apart. Like, I feel like I'm doing nothing, even though I'm, this is like my way that I feel like I have any impact, but it doesn't feel like impact because it's like virtual and I can't go outside. And at the end of the day, as we've mentioned before, capitalism, the purpose of capitalism a lot is to distract you and not make you able to fight for your rights, right? So it's like, I have meetings, I have calls, I have things I have to be at that I can't go in the streets and protest and like be a part of the work that makes you feel a little bit more connected. And it's just, it's been hard. And now I significantly don't post anymore. And then I feel guilty for that too. Like, oh my God, I'm not doing enough because like now I'm not posting at all. But I'm like, I'm really not trying to post at all for my own mental. Like, I really be posting
on
my...
That's how I feel, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I post my close friends, because that's, like, my Finsta, you know? And, like, that's it. Like, I really...
There's definitely that guilt that creeps in, because I feel the same. Like, suddenly, I just, like, really dropped off, and I think I had to, because I was getting so, I don't know, just really run down. And that's so silly, coming from someone who, like, has a objectively, like, well... like good body, good life, or not good, you know what I mean? Like,
you're healthy, your needs are being met, like you're not you know, like, paycheck to paycheck, like you are living a life that you deserve, right? Because like in theory, every person in this country deserves to live that life. Like, they deserve to be able to not think about where their money's coming from, to eat and not be stressed out about it, and to work what they need. They should be living or working to live, not living to work, you know?
But that's the other thing. This is my thought that I'm going to end on. Because I really, maybe this sounds like, there's like a word for it. It's like I don't know. But the society that we know now, whether it's work, whether it's health insurance, whether it's how to like mortgage or anything, humans have decided to build this. We did this to ourselves. Like, we had all the power to make this world exactly what we wanted, and this is what we did. There is no point. Like, this is not life. Work is not your life. This house is not my life. Like, this is all made up, and we've just, like, decided to go along with it. But, like, really, humans did this to themselves, and I just can't wrap my mind around that. And I think it just further shows that, like, people, the three people that were benefiting from it made it happen, and then they still benefited from it or whatever. But I think about it all the time, where it's like, why am I stressing about like my money or my health insurance or whatever? Like, people made that up. We could just print more money. Just like, what is the, like, I don't understand these self-made problems. I need to just catapult myself into outer space. That is my ending thought. I want to be catapulted into outer space.
I want to be on a beach. That's my, I would love to just be on a remote island where I can just chill. I can cook and I can chill out. That's all I want.
That's
do.
Life.
Yeah.
You want to live. You know what I mean? Like, that's all you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go back to my roots. Like, I, you know, want to go back to my Taíno, indigenous, Puerto Rican roots and just be on a beach. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's so hard because, like, we can so disagree with all these systems, but it's also, you just can't leave it unless you want to sacrifice a lot, including, you know, being with people you love. Like, maybe if your family and your friends are in the system, you can't just go and, like, never talk to them again, living in an off-grid house.
You're trapped. We're all trapped.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I think hopefully as the world continues to end, there are some more moments of actual living, whether it's, like, being on a beach or whatever, and maybe being more present will help us do that. Like, as we go forward, it's just like, what actually makes me happy? Like, how amazing is it that, like, this tree exists, or like whatever it is that, like, reminds you, like, the essence of what living is? That's what helps me. It's just like, all the other stuff is noise, and if I'm able to block it out, that's like a privilege, right? So I don't know. The episode's a little long, so that's my closing thought, even though I said the other thing was my closing thought. But anything else that you guys want to chime in before we wrap up? Before Trisha wraps up?
Not really. Yeah. I think you covered it.
Yeah, okay, I think cool. we...
Trisha, do you want to wrap us out of here?
All the main points.
Yeah, but what part of the wrapping out should I do?
Plug our... I'm not going to make you make or say our socials if you don't know. just say thank you for listening to Trisha's show. Have a nice day.
Okay, thank you everyone for listening to Trisha's show. But it wouldn't be possible without Becca, Shireen, and Anna. So, yeah, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. We really enjoyed it. And Shireen will tell you the show's socials to follow.
Wow. Thank you for the handoff. You guys already know where to follow us, hopefully. It's Ethnically Amb, A-M-B, on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G, on Instagram. You can follow me on social media after all that ranting if you want to. But whatever. You'll find me if you want to find me.
I'm at Anna Hosni on Twitter. I'm at Selling Hosni on Instagram.
Becca, do you want to plug?
I am Bex, B-E-C-C-S, Ramos, R-A-M-O-S, on everything, but primarily Instagram. I famously hate Twitter, and my TikTok is my spam, which it has been weird to get new followers there because people keep liking this one video I made as a joke, and it is very weird.
What is it about?
It's like, okay, you know that filter that's supposed to like make you look like a man? Uh-huh. And there's many of them, but this one is like the like fuckboy
beard
one. But it's like a beard with like the septum ring, and like they make your eyes light, right? I look sweaty. That is what I would describe as a man. I looked sweaty, and I film it over to my partner. And he looks hot, and it was annoying. I was like, you look like you would ruin my life. Mm. Like the septum and the light eyes really did something for him. And I look sweaty. I would not date me. And people seem to keep thinking that was really funny. So, yikes. But my partner looked a lot better than I did. Let's just say that.
Wow. You never know what's going to fucking hit with the internet. You know what I mean? Wow. Okay, without further ado, that's it. Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner.
Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.